Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Pelota en dirección hacia territorio del jardín central. Carlos Correa, Duque, a lo profundo. Y no, 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 no. Díganle que no esa pelota.
Decía un viejo coach en Cuba, no llegues nunca empatado.
Houston is all systems go.
Now that is a way to start a show.
We love our Astros in Houston.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And was that any good? An instant classic. Holy crap, was that good? You think, man, I'll tell you what. When you're down to Presley, and then, and you see Fromber's warming up in the bullpen. You're like, oh crap! I mean, even if you win, you're done for today.
Yeah, and you're working on on Lance McCullers with 3 days,
right?
And it was probably like it was do or die. You had your chance. You knew you had to get a run, and that's what you did. Let me ask you a question: where were you when Carlos Correa hit that home?
Damaris Barbecue.
You remember it like it was yesterday. Right?
No. Where were you?
Where were you, Dell, when Carlos Correa hit that home run?
I was at home.
Huh? That was a huge favorite, by the way.
Yeah. That was.
Know where I was, John? When Carlos hit that big home run, I was out in my car doing a Tennessee Titans podcast on my phone, a Zoom call on my phone. With a Tennessee Titans Music City Miracle podcast or something like that, that I had agreed to and then moved multiple times because of the games. And then I finally agreed to do it at, 7:15, 8:15 Eastern time. Not really thinking about what the time frame of the game was. And
well, that was so, 4 hours in.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I mean, I thought I'd be safe. Eastern time. The game started at 4.
Game started at 4 here, 7, oh, 3 hours in.
3:15, yeah.
3:15 in. Yeah, that's a bad time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here's where I was. All of a sudden, I'm sweating the entirety. I watch even the top of the ninth. Then I have to go outside, get in the car, start this up. And before you know it, the guy's house, or Rob's house, we were over there watching the game and having some carnitas. He comes running out of the house, going, rah, 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 screaming, running around the car, screaming, running around the neighborhood, and then back into it. And I'm like, well, something. So it was bittersweet because I knew something great had happened and I knew I had missed it. I knew there was a walk-off homer. That was clearly the Astros hit walk-off homers. They don't string hits together anymore.
No.
It's home run or bust.
Right. So do you think now tonight you have to sit in your car in the driveway?
Well, now I'm the guy who has done two things. No, I'm a superstitious person. I do not think that.
I think if you don't do that, then you don't love your teams. And nope. This is clearly on
this
you.
This is what I think. I do get some runs, and I get my team runs, and I do all that stuff. This is what I think. I think I'm now the guy who has missed the classic. I went back in and scrolled back on the TV and watched it, but I'm the guy that missed the Carlos Correa walk-off home run,
mm-hmm.
And I'm the guy who left in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl between the Falcons and Patriots. Yeah. And didn't see it
you
in the building.
28-3 comeback.
Mm-hmm.
You're also the guy who made a spectacular, incredible Houston moment all about himself just now.
No.
Yes.
I'm just telling you that
John,
I...
Come on.
I
did he not just do this?
I choked No, I'm telling you, I choked.
Hey, everybody, let's get excited. Time. Carlos just hit a walk-off home run to end the series.
This moment is about...
And I was
I'm sending you a Carlos Correa song. We're going to make it all about Carlos Correa. It's right here.
I was with a guy, my great buddy. And as soon as Carlos hit it, I called it. No. I called it. And I was like, yeah, okay. Good. Okay.
Unless you Carlos just over.
We won. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the update, buddy.
No, that's my boy. But he was like, I called like 12 homers before that. But okay. I think he's going to homer here. Every single at bat.
Every at bat. Yeah.
Right.
So I missed. I saw the whole thing except that one live, but I did get back in and watch it. When Carlos was hitting it, have you noticed his home runs are all going left center, right center? That's when he's smashing the ball.
Yeah.
He's not trying to
Every home run is left center, right center, or dead center.
Yeah.
Every home run.
And he is.
And Altuve is pulling it.
Everything's pulling.
Springer's pulling it. But Carlos, when he's on, he's hitting it to dead center.
Let me tell you something, man. This is really good. Has Carlos's contract gone up at all for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's getting
formidable.
Minimum $25 million.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna be any 12. He's gonna be looking for, and he's going to get top of the line contract.
And I don't know.
So is George.
I don't know how you break this up if you're Crane. I don't know what you got to do. I mean, there's a lot of difference. But listen. Tillman. We're going to talk about Tillman. Obviously, we're going to talk about Daryl Morey. We're going to talk about Jim Crane and Springer and Correa. These guys took an ass whooping this year. Now these guys took a whooping, and they, I'm worried about. Well, I mean, Tillman took it on every which way, from the casinos to the restaurants to the basketball team to the, and everybody's going to. But well. When you're taking the hits, I bet that dude with all of his holdings, with zero revenues that he had for how long, he can't sleep at night. He's choking at night. Yeah,
what does that have to do with that?
Well, but what it has to do with, I'm talking Jim Crane as well, took an ass whooping this year as well. And you got to say, I don't know. I don't know that we can plan long-term a five-year deal for George Springer for $125 million because we're not sure. I'm going to be stuck on that when I still got Greinke's deal. I still got Altuve's deal. I still got Bregman's deal. I still got all of these deals that are guaranteed. And I don't know that we're going to have people in the stands again.
Greinke's deal is such a bad deal right now relative to, who he is now. I mean, you're paying like Gerrit Cole money for who he is now, which stinks. But
you only got 1 year left on it, which is nice.
Which, I wonder if it's tradable in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't know.
1 year? I mean, it's an expiring contract.
It's an expiring contract, but it's also a
people
34.
Know it's not a good.
It's not a good.
It's deal. Not a good contract for the.
No, that's almost that's.
I mean, he's not a guy who goes to the seventh. Rarely ever gets to the seventh, despite what he says. He's just his stuff just isn't. His stuff is pretty good. He just doesn't throw with good velocity anymore. It's going to be hard. But how do you let? I mean, Brantley's gone, and I really think George is gone, which is heartbreaking because. Man, after he celebrated the home run yesterday, all I could think of was, man, this literally is the last year we're going to see George Springer. That, for those who don't know, and I guess most of you won't, I don't think I've talked about it on the air, there's multiple people who live in that neighborhood, and one was Coach Reese. Just they're building a house in the neighborhood. You know Reese.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in here. Anyway, so George Springer, their house is already for sale, and they're moving back to the East Coast. He and his wife are moving back to the East Coast full time. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't live in Houston during the season, but it's not a great sign. You know what I mean? That is not a great sign when a guy picks up and leaves a city where he is in the middle of a free agent year. So he's already put his house up for sale, and they're moving. Michael Brantley, whose family, I guess, isn't here right now. I've heard Michael Brantley, who and George Springer are like best friends, live in a neighborhood together. Michael Brantley's house is for sale, and he is expecting to go, and he's going to get primetime money too. Well, I think he'll get a 3-year deal. I don't, he got a 2-year deal with the Astros, and he was a good hitter with the. Well, I still don't understand why he only got a 2-year deal.
I don't know.
Why did Brantley only get a 2? They got an extraordinarily reasonable deal with Michael Brantley.
I don't know. Maybe that's all he wanted to do. What was it? $30 million? 15 each? Something.
I think it was maybe even a little less. It was right around there.
Whatever the case may be.
It was right around there. A 2-year deal, which is perfect.
I thought, you know what, though? That's a good deal. I think for the Astros, it's a good deal.
It was a great deal.
He's going to fall off now, though. You wish it was 3 or 4.
Yep.
Because of how good he still
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. And so now you know, Brantley, I think, is gone. I think Springer is gone. And now the specter of, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. Carlos Correa. Now, in the regular season, Correa has injuries. Correa doesn't consistently hit with 900 OPS.
Okay, it was 16-16, 32.
Okay. So, but Correa now, after some playoff games, we're ready to push his salary all the way up to superstar level? I mean, because I've always thought that's what he's getting. I think he and his people will command the money that's commensurate with what he does in the playoffs, not what he does in 162.
Right. I mean, this is the time that you get – this is when you get paid. This is what you get paid for. I think that you're going to look – it's going to be dangerous because you're going to look at the injury situation in a shortened season where he didn't get injured, which is nice, but that was only 60 games.
Right.
Is he going to be able to last another 100 every season? You know, it's a risk. It's risky business, but somebody's going to take that risk. Yeah. Somebody is. I don't know that the Astros are, though.
It's just going to be heartbreaking if you lose those guys from this team, because, man, once again, they got us feeling this, you know, some type of way again in the postseason. And it's just such a great – I mean, this is why you watch, especially baseball. It's a grind to go 162, and a lot of times it's part of a dinner or a barbecue. You're watching games. You're hanging out with your buddies watching games. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, the night by night by night, it can be, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of games to take in. However, once you get to the postseason, you know, what the Astros have done, I think baseball might be the most fun play. When your team's in, it might be the most fun watching.
I think so, too.
Because you don't have the instant, in basketball, everything that's happening. Football gives you a breather, but there's something about baseball where there's a build in every inning.
And it makes you think all the time. There's so many decisions that are made.
You start looking ahead.
So many decisions.
Like yesterday with the pitching.
With the pitching, you know what? And I was like, Dusty, oh, you didn't know Josh Jansen? You did again? Again, you don't know Josh? But you know what? Got to give it up for Dusty. He's got to work with and what he has done in this postseason. Listen. I'm like, Rayleigh, really here? Good move, Dusty. Way to go. I mean, what he's had to work with and what he's done, it is unbelievable. But yeah, I agree with you. Baseball is just much fun. And we were watching, and afterwards, after he hit that homer, somebody said, you know, and it was an older guy, and he was around. We were around. We were all around for the Astros 90s and 05 and all that stuff. And he was like, that team would have never done this.
No.
They didn't have – this team has so much nuts with Altuve, Springer, and Correa.
Always.
And Marwin with his hit. And, I mean, it just seems – even Josh Reddick is stepping up and hitting right now. I mean, these guys just have nuts. When those teams just didn't – they didn't have anybody. They had Carlos Beltran that stepped up 1 year. Otherwise
– And Berkman.
And Berkman came – Berkman had a big postseason. But otherwise – it was like, come on, guys. These guys, it seems like every time they have to come up with a hit, they've just got giant nuts. Yeah. It's so great to watch.
That's why it will go down. Like, the Rockets team had that, too, with Clutch City, obviously. Yeah. I mean, the Rockets did it, too, for 2 years. But this is a team that has gone 17, 18, well, 15, but really, let's just start at 17. 17, 18, 19, and now 20. Like, the window of opportunity that they have had is unlike any other organization that's played here in Houston since I've been a kid. I mean, since I've been watching. And they are just – I said yesterday, there is no way they can win a bullpen game. Mm. And they just won a bullpen game. And you know what? Yeah, were we on the edge of our seats all the time? Yeah. But they still did it. And they didn't give up a bunch of runs.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to grind it out.
714 ESPN 97.
By the way, my bookie yesterday, you could have Astros win the series if you had the guts to say Astros win the series before the game, plus like 775.
Ooh, nice.
100 to win 775.
Not as much.
Well, now it's going to be down like the 400s.
Yep. But they still got to win two games. But you can go to MyBookie right now, MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. My buddy, I've got a buddy that went on, and he said, my goodness, it is so easy to navigate. And oh, by the way, you get true parlay odds on this thing. So if you're betting big underdogs, you're going to get big odds on the games. If you bet money line underdogs, you're going to get true odds at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And when you do that and you win, wow, that's a big payoff. But here's the deal. You're also going to get paid. So if you're looking for a great way to play, so easy to navigate, great site, in-game live betting that really, really pays off big time as well. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio, your initial deposit, they will double it, and you will really love that because you get twice as much to play for it. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's surreal, man. I mean, I lose it every single time, brother. I don't know what I do. I black out. I hit the homer, and this is not planned, you know what I mean? You just react and you enjoy the moment and you try to celebrate with your teammates, man. It's really special, you know, to be able to have two of them. The one last year was really special, but, you know, we're living the moment right now, so this one is even more special. So, you know, just staying confident. We still got two more games to go, two more games to win if we want to move on to the World Series. So we got to go out there and take care of business tomorrow and forget all what happened today.
Does the national media hate this? Ian, a guy Melts, tweeted out, Jeff Passan has tweeted umpteen times about the Dodgers blowout loss. Zero tweets about the Astros instant classic. Zero.
No, that's not possible. No. He's probably at the game working
Jeff
the game.
Jeff Passan, are you kidding me? Well, it's still, they were watching. You watch the other game, too. You keep your eye on it.
But that came after the Astros anyway. You would have been watching.
Well, you would have been watching.
Somebody would have seen it. I mean, you had to have.
Yeah. Let's see the quote. Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. How it started, Nick Anderson from the Magic, and then Nick Anderson from Tampa. If you're a Nick Anderson from Florida. Somebody said, if you're a Nick Anderson from Florida, we want you in a postseason series.
Mm-hmm.
We want you in a big series. Yeah, apparently he tweeted there was zero Jeff Passan and I think zero Busters, too. Zero Buster tweets about the Astros. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to go look through their timelines. I'm just going to trust. I'm
doing
sources
right
tell
now.
Me.
I'm scrolling now. And he honestly, consistently, he hasn't tweeted about that series. So it wasn't. The last time he tweeted directly about the Astros series was when the Rays laid down a sacrifice bunt. Apparently, it was the first sacrifice bunt all postseason.
Yeah.
So he tweeted about that. But other than that, it's been pretty much Dodgers and Braves. I guess maybe that's the series he's at. The last time he tweeted about the Astros Rays really was October 8th. And that was a retweet of someone else.
Wow. Melts. Daniel House Jr., he put... two emojis. I don't know what they're crying emojis. I don't know if he's happy. I don't know why Daniel House put two crying emojis. Whatever. And breaks and Ian said save it. Are we in a place where are we still pissed at Daniel House?
About the other. I just wasn't really. I don't know why. I know what you're saying. I mean, yeah. he was out because of the. What he did with
someone.
He violated protocol, and he got whacked from the playoffs. No, I don't know. I'm not. Do you want me to be fake out? I guess I can be outraged. Like, oh. Well,
I don't think you have any
what
choice.
He did, I'll never come back from it. I'd already forgotten about it. I don't know.
Most guys would be gone from the team. You know, you did this, and you did this to our team, and But the Rockets have. I don't think they have any choice that they got to keep him. I don't think that they've got any choice that they've got zero young guys and zero guys making a zero value.
Well, you
players.
Could bring in another player.
Zero
who's a
value
zero
players.
Money. Yeah, you could bring in another player who is low dollar. But we haven't mentioned directly what happened yesterday yet, and that is Daryl Morey was Daryl Morey stepped aside. What it sounds like is there was maybe a mutual parting. Daryl Morey, according to reports, approached the Rockets after the loss about stepping aside, and I guess he and Tillman Fertitta started, you know, coming to an agreement about what it would look like. I don't know if it happened exactly like that. I don't know if it happened exactly like that, but at some point the two that's the public face. I'm not sure it happened exactly like we're hearing, but I do know that. I think potentially there's a mutual parting. I don't know that Daryl wanted to keep working for Tillman. Maybe he did. Maybe he just wants out of basketball. Maybe he sees this as an unwinnable. I think it's unwinnable now. I think he's in a position where he's kind of backed himself into a corner.
Yeah, I tell you, he's leaving. Listen, I don't know. I don't care what. I like Daryl, and Daryl did a hell of a job here. Jonathan Fagan said it was 100% Daryl's decision. 100%.
That I think that makes some sense.
Yeah.
You know, the China thing, I do wonder how much leftover residual
but if,
stuff
if Tillman
there is
really
that.
Wanted to me, if Tillman really wanted to show them, hey, listen, China, we would love to get you back, and they fired Daryl right away. I mean, this doesn't do anything for his
no,
the whole
but
China
I mean,
situation.
With Daryl. Like, I wonder if Daryl
right. Well,
felt a little...
I would imagine anytime you lose your owner, 15 to 25 million, whatever they lost because of his tweet, that you're going to hold that against him. Yeah, I would imagine that in the back of your mind, you're like, that dude really did cost me. That kind of sucks every time. I mean, it's like if somebody cheats on you, you know what?
Yeah, so if,
I know you cheated.
So if it's him,
no matter what happens, I know you did that.
Yeah.
I know you sent that Hong Kong tweet and it cost me $25 million a year.
Yeah.
I know you did that.
He's going to know that. But Daryl was tone deaf, but he wasn't wrong for being able to say something about, we do it here in this country. People do it here in this country
right.
About oppressive behavior or whatever. Daryl did it where it's, you know, potentially even worse with the whole government stepping on, you know, Hong Kong. And yet, that's not wrong, but it's dangerous from a financial standpoint. And if you put money over, yeah. You know, morals, then yeah, you really shouldn't do that.
Well, as a businessman, and listen, I was listening to Joel yesterday. He was in charge of sending the videos to China. The Rockets were 68 of their
Joel
80.
Has unbelievable insight
yes.
In all this.
And he's also got insight into this Raphael Stone, who I never heard of. I don't
yeah.
Know who he is.
I don't know him either.
And he said, what a horrific decision this is. He hates this decision.
Raphael
Stone apparently doesn't know anything about basketball, but he's their general counsel. So I mean that he was put into this position. It seems like this has been a decision. I mean, maybe he's just interim. I don't know, or maybe Tillman's trying to save as much money as he possibly can. All I know is this:
John
this,
Lucas is going to be the head coach. He's saving some money. This
he's saving
off-season.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And I can't, I don't know that I can fault him. He's with as much money he's got on that basketball court to try to save some money behind the scenes when he's bleeding money. I can't, it's hard to hold it against him. Oh, he's got me. Guess what? He doesn't.
Well, then
with
we gotta,
all of this, with if, all of this happening, dude, he is getting his ass whooped.
But if people aren't going to feel bad for him.
No, I know. I'm not feeling bad.
Everyone's
in
a bad shape.
But
I'm also saying that. If you are leveraged this much to where you're in this position, you know, you're also going to make your fan base not very, I'm just warning you,
yeah.
If they think you're going cheap, the worst thing you can do is be a cheap owner.
Yep.
Because fans are going to get pissed. And if they think you're going cheap because of restaurants and casinos losing money, the people who are paying season tickets are not going to be happy
no,
about
no,
that.
No, no,
if
no,
if it
no.
Has an impact
and
on the court.
But here's the deal is, here's the biggest problem, is where is this franchise right now? What the hell is I mean you
it's,
got
it's lost.
Two overpaid but well, no, I don't know that James is overpaid but Russ is certainly overpaid untradeable you the pieces that you have filled in here it's just throwing crap against the wall seeing what sticks. I mean there's no draft picks zero draft picks till 2038 or whatever. I mean, he's given all he's given up for. How are you rebuild this team? That's all they do. James Innes's and Carmelo Anthony's and Ben McLemore's and all of these guys that are just on the skid somewhere. You bring them in at pennies on the dollar, and you hope that they play. You hope that's the only way you can build this roster. That's it, because there's no more money. Because you're up against the cap with just two guys.
Oh, well, they're two spectacular players.
Well, is Russ really a spectacular player?
Russ is still a good player. James is an elite player. You brought Russ in, who was not. Here's the problem: when you went all in for Chris Paul, you had to have a wink and a nod agreement that you would give him that extension. Once you gave him that extension, and James didn't like him, you now had to move him, and it was going to be hard to move that contract. You found a willing taker because they wanted to get rid of Russell's contract and his erratic play. And so now you got a guy who James likes, but you can't get it out of this one. Like, Daryl has done a brilliant job of maneuvering around, you know, the mouse in the maze. He has done a brilliant job of maneuvering, staying nimble on his feet, being able to keep the salary cap at a place where he could trade guys, he could trade contracts. He's gotten rid of contracts left and right. He's done this. But now what it feels like is he finally got to the end where he hit a dead end for the first time. Because I think this is a dead end. Like you said, no draft picks to build yourself as a younger team. There is you have three contracts in James, Eric Gordon, and Russell Westbrook. Two of them are not going to be eminently tradable. And the one that is tradable, he happens to be your best player and the most defining player and a perennial all-pro and MVP, but he also runs the team. So once you let James, once you dictated, once James was the sun and you were going to rotate everything around that sun, that's when you eventually hit the dead end. And now if he doesn't have championship DNA, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because there's no moves left. I don't see any moves left other than moving James.
There's no.
That's it.
No. And guess what? Not, and then it's going to be.
Who knows? Devil you don't? Is that a situation?
I don't know. I don't know that Tillman will move. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is this organization is left in, and I don't want to say in shambles, but it is not. It's not good. It certainly doesn't have championship DNA. And the city of Houston supports a team that's got a shot at the championship. Right now, this team doesn't. It just doesn't, and that's a bad thing for Tillman and everybody involved over there. And I know, nobody's feeling you. None of you, and I'm not asking you to feel sorry for Tillman, but you also have to realize that this dude has. I don't know that anybody. Anybody that could probably lost more than he has. Honestly, every single one of his businesses. There are a lot of businesses that we're still able to open and we're still able to thrive. Some people are thriving in this thing when he was shut down totally in all of them. Poor Tillman. No. But you also have to realize maybe I have to cut some corners. Maybe I got to save some money where I possibly can. And maybe that was Daryl. Although Jonathan Fagan says this was 100% Daryl's decision. 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls on the other side. Right now it's 7:30. We got John Clay Wolf is not with us, but he's no longer with us. But he will be here tomorrow morning. You can hear him on the radio because he's got the longest running show on this station, actually, if you want to know the truth. The John Clay Wolf Show. And here's the deal is John Clay Wolf is ready to buy your car. Doesn't matter. If you are somebody that is selling your car, now it's got to be a car that's got to be worth a couple $1,000s. It can't be just a hunk of junk. He's not doing that. But if it's worth a couple $1,000s or more, John Clay Wolf will give you the most for it. And when you're talking about a couple $1,000s, and if you can get $500 more than the other guys for your car, that's pretty damn good. If you're talking about $20,000 and he'll give you $22 instead of the other guys giving you $20, huh? 22 is pretty damn good. It's pretty skippy. He gave me more for my daughter's car than I thought. And I was just like, yes, I'll take it right now. You're going to probably be like that too. I mean, there are several people that are doing this and they're like, yeah, he does. He gives more for the car. So if you're looking to sell your car, give me the VIN.com. That's give me the VIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Are y'all happy for Dusty? I mean, watching Dusty hug. Dusty soundbite about Correa. Can you pull that down?
What they have done for Dusty in terms of showing the television, showing him with Correa,
the hug
after the game, then the next day before the game, talking to him, then having a team sit all around or stand around him when he was sitting on the stool, just kind of talking to them. Golly, Pawpaw Dusty has really, really got these guys. These guys believe in Pawpaw Dusty. I thought only the stoic but fair dad, AJ Hinch, would be the only manager that they'd ever truly love. You know, because dad was fair, but you knew he loved them, and you knew he would ground them if he had to. But at the end of the day, he would also take them for ice cream when mom said no. Like, he was a really good dad. Pawpaw Dusty is great for the Astros right now. And I never thought I would say that. Of course, it's easy to say that when you win.
Yep.
And in a regular season, not say that. But I really have a real appreciation for him.
Obviously, we have problems with his moves, but I've never had a problem with Dusty all season long. No. Even at 29 and 30. Listen, what he has done, what he's got, with nine guys on this roster that never pitched a game in the major leagues. Luis Garcia was in A-ball last year. He's starting game five.
He hasn't pitched since since September 9th.
September 9th. I mean, what he's had to work with and what he's done. I mean, obviously there are some moves, Josh James moves and Cy Snead moves and stuff that you nitpick because it's baseball. You're going to nitpick. But man, oh man, oh man. And how these guys and how he has reacted to everybody. Hey, screw you. When the beanball thing, what Dusty was like.
Wait. Get back on the mound.
Yeah. And get back on the mound. And you know what? We ain't starting none, but we'll finish it. That one. Be careful what you ask for. I mean, Dusty is. You get chills thinking about, man, if Dusty could win a World Series with this team.
Oh, it'd be an incredible
It'd be unbelievable. And it seems like they all love him. He's a player's guy. He was a player.
Yeah.
He's a player's coach. And it just seems like they all have an affinity and affection towards Pawpaw. I mean, it is great. It is great to see. He pulled the strings yesterday, man. You want to talk about how hard that was? He was playing chess out there. He was playing chess.
Well, he could only move his pawns. Well,
that's all he had was pawns.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he played chess as pawn. Pawn.
He won with pawns, dude. It ain't easy to win a chess with pawns.
Well, there was
pawns.
Nothing you could do but just send the guys out there.
That's it.
There was the problem was if you didn't win when you won, there was really nothing out. You're going to have to blow up. You're going to have to play all for that game and blow it up. And then Carlos Correa came through.
And then Carlos Correa. Let's get Chuck. Why does Chuck want to say trash-ass Lance? Why does it say that?
Well, remember, Dell types that stuff up.
Oh, sure. Hey, Chuck.
I mean, my kids, you know, they still believe in Santa Claus, but I guess I want Lance to come over there and just pop that bubble. And Jesus Christ, can we just enjoy the win? Now I can't even enjoy the win. All these other teams are doing the same thing with losing money. We might be able to keep two or three of these guys, but Jesus Christ, we got a eulogy, man. Is Dusty going to die tomorrow? Because Lance, tell me, man, if you're not at the game, is he going to die? Just give me some more COVID deaths, man. Something happy. Thank you.
Did he just cuss?
He said JC a couple of times.
I don't know. I didn't.
I thought he just dropped an F-bomb.
No. I don't think so.
No, I don't think he did. But
I don't know.
Well, we're enjoying the win. Whether or not this is
Chase Caswell's comes run over that dang one.
When he called me, see, he used the term "trash ass Lance." I wrote it, but that's what he said over the phone. He was upset that. Well, he heard him, like, minutes in. First, he wasn't thrilled with, you know, Lance making it about himself. And then he wasn't thrilled with,
make it about myself. All I said was I missed a great moment in Houston history.
I don't know.
John. This just saying I host a radio show.
John. I don't know about this. All I know is.
You heard him.
All I know is.
Two decades of Houston sports memories, and I miss it.
We don't know what's going to happen with. I mean, honestly, if you weren't thinking about that, yes. I mean,
I know. All of us
said we were sitting there going, "Man, we can't go on without Springer."
Why are you doing that? Springer going on that? There's no Springer going on there. You got people dying in COVID, put them in a grave.
I don't think.
Hey, no son of a butt, put people in a grave. Why don't you step out with COVID and put fire on them?
I think his big issue was. It was.
You're not allowed to talk about that, John.
I think his issue was it was 5 minutes into the show.
I'm worried about not having Springer next year. Yeah, I am.
Too bad.
Why are you worried about that, John? Why are you putting COVID in people's mouths, spitting in their mouth to touch them on a private part?
Well, you are king of COVID deaths. He's not wrong about that.
Well.
Stop punching people on the private parts with the COVID.
Well.
What?
I don't know if I touched anybody.
What?
How do you think?
You're not allowed to talk about these great players and wanting them to stay with your own team. That's not allowed.
Oh, let's get
5 minutes or 5 hours. It's not allowed.
Is this Father TJ or just the other TJ?
It's got to be Father.
Are you Father TJ or the other TJ? TJ.
There's two TJs.
TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, no, this is Father TJ.
Father TJ, what you doing?
Hey.
Hey, I'm happy.
Oh, this is the problem.
God said not today.
That's not. Call back, Father TJ.
Father TJ, your phone.
Reestablish the line.
Father TJ, are you supposed to be hearing confession or something right now? God's telling you.
And also with you.
Hello?
Okay. God said not. I told you. Not today.
Well, God, no. God wants Father TJ on today.
He needs to start his call with.
Here, pull him up.
He needs to start his call, and we say, and also with you.
All right. Ready? That's him. Just pull him up, Del.
I don't have him up. I don't have control right now.
Oh, that's the intern?
Yeah.
Well, let's get Jeff then. He wants to talk about Pawpaw Dusty.
All right. No, let's get Father TJ.
Okay, there he is.
Father TJ, what's going on? Father TJ, can you hear
me? I'm having a good week, guys. This is a lot of fun.
There it is.
I know, right?
Baseball nonstop. Man, it goes every single day.
This is so fun. Such a fun time for this this city and this team, and I can see like this whole deal. Everybody else outside the city of Houston is not a fan of what's going on, but because of what I do and who I am, I have a little proclivity towards redemption stories and second chances, and so it's great to see this team say, "Hey, we get another chance at this." And everybody outside the city of Houston is going to be upset. And they're going to be mad if we can get back, but it would be so phenomenal for the city and for baseball. And this is again what's so great about sports. Is that moments like this happen, and this Astros team is doing things historically that we might never see again. Yesterday was the first time they said that a team's hit a home run on the first pitch of the game and then hit a walk-off. Springer and Correa going home run in the same game. It's the eighth time they've done that, which is twice more than any other duo in history. And then you look at the list of all-time home runs of Altuve and Springer and Correa are all on the top 10. This team is special. And so we're just rooting for them, hoping that we can get back to the World Series and show everybody again that there's a chance for second chances.
No, absolutely. Can you do us a favor? Can you bless Josh James' arm today?
Well, he ain't pitching today.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. I mean, but what about Game 7? There's a possibility. Father TJ, at some point, please ask God to forgive Josh James' right arm for all of his transgressions, okay? Please ask him because it's really – ask him because Josh James must be doing something. It must be, I don't know, sinning in between innings because every time he sits down and he comes out for the next inning, he's something – he's being punished. So if there's any way we can bless Josh James – And please ask God to watch over him in that second inning of work. We would really appreciate it, Father.
Yes, sir. We'll keep praying. We'll keep praying for the Astros, hoping they do well.
That's
he
it.
He doesn't fall for doesn't, you trying to get play. Him to use his powers for the Astros.
He doesn't have powers.
What do you
mean? Well,
he does have
in
powers.
A way.
No, he doesn't
he
does have powers.
Yeah,
no,
does.
Somebody up there has powers.
No.
Not like Homelander. Not like Homelander, but
powers.
He does have certain kind of
so
powers.
So are you saying that Sister Mary didn't have powers for Loyola basketball team?
No.
Wrong.
I'm saying exactly that. You know why they won? Unless Sister Mary was asking other teams to miss free throws late, then no, I don't think she had powers.
Oh, you know, they went further than ever. And look at
rosary,
our team.
Dell, that's how they
TJ.
Got there.
So why, because of holiness, not you sitting on your couch.
So why did they lose?
system area run out of power? Is that why they lost eventually?
No.
But because of free will.
Why did Michigan beat them?
Free will.
God lifted them to as far as they could go.
So God has limits to his powers?
No, God doesn't have any limits.
No, the system did.
Michigan has God-fearing people too, though.
Because I'm just don't understand why God couldn't have lifted them to a Final Four.
Because, they did get to the Final Four.
No, they didn't. They lost in the Elite Eight or something.
Oh,
yeah, but it's kind of like a Final Four.
Yeah, it was way more. Look, you know who we know? We know Father TJ and Sister Mary. You know why? Because of their powers.
Seems like Sister Mary's a bit of a tease.
What?
Oh, that's not right.
That is.
You're going to get me to the edge of the Final Four and then let me get there?
Yeah.
Tease.
Don't say that about her.
Sorry.
Is that her name, Sister Mary?
I don't know.
If I'm going to believe she has powers, she's a bit of a tease.
No.
A Final Four tease.
She was the one. Her name wasn't Sister Mary, something else. Let's break it
Sister
quick.
Sister Mary something.
It was?
They all are Sister Mary something.
Not all of
them. Yes, every single nun is Sister Mary.
Not Sister Margaret?
Sister Mary Margaret. Yeah. They're all nuns are Sister Mary.
No, they're not.
Yes.
There's not a Sister Teresa?
Sister Mary Teresa.
Stop.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes.
It just seems like it. We got an interesting board here. Let's get a quick break in here. And let me tell you about Gulf Coast Chevy. We'll get all you guys.
Sister
We've got
Jean, by the
Sister
way.
Sister Jean.
Yeah. That's not Sister
Mary. Sister Mary Jean.
It's not Sister Mary Jean. It's not Sister Billie Jean. She was not your lover. Gulf Coast Chevrolet is in Angleton, and they are waiting to take care of you. And when I say waiting to take care of you, how about with this amazing deal they got going on right now on the GMC side? They've got a $6,000 purchase allowance on a new 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab Denali Edition. $6,000 purchase allowance. That's pretty strong. You can also lease, and that's if you're looking to buy. If you're looking to lease, which I usually lease, they've got the GMC Sierra 1500 Double Cab Two-Wheel Drive SLE for only $319 per month with $1,939 due at signing. These are great opportunities for you to get in a great pickup truck, either purchase or lease. They've got you set up in either direction you want to go. Head down to Angleton or do it right online at LanceZCars.com. It's Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. GMC, we are professional grade.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
They lost to Michigan in the Final Four. I'm going to say it because you kept saying no.
I said it during the break, okay? I got you. You said it four times.
Final Four, Michigan. Nice job, Dell.
Well, nice
misinformation.
You're not the king of that. Nice job by Sister Mary for teasing that loyalty to the Final Four.
God wanted them to get to the Final Four.
God didn't want them to do anything. God doesn't care.
That's all. Didn't have God on their side, they wouldn't have gotten out of the first round.
No, they were playing Miami Miss Free Throw, so they probably would have got out of the first round. God doesn't care.
God cares. Beat Miami 64-62. That's why you hate him.
I don't hate him. I'm just telling you, God doesn't care.
God cares. God cares. And God brought them to the Final Four. And God's bringing the Astros to the World Series. How much you got to send? Did you get it from AJ? The sound of you, did you get it?
So we'll play it in a second. The Astros.
See, I don't mind being the bad guys now. I'm over it.
Yeah.
Now I'm acceptance, and now I'm loving the tears. Zubin and Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams. We'll have some sound from them in just a little bit for you to hear because the tears are delicious this morning.
Yes.
They're already starting to panic and freak out.
And they're Dodger fans.
I know.
And the Dodgers suck. So, they stole it from us. I mean, where do you hear them crying? No, here's the deal. You don't have to steal anything from the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going to lose. It doesn't matter.
Save it so we can hear.
The Dodgers suck.
I know. I want to ask you a question about that in a little bit as well. Garrett was actually up first, so let's get Garrett in here. What's going on, Garrett? How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing? So I was listening to you talk about the Rockets and how they're kind of stuck with where they're at. And I think if they're trying to win, they're stuck.
But the only thing I was thinking, so I heard yesterday that Minnesota is looking to get a win now player, and the Knicks are interested in kind of revitalizing that fan base and getting them going, even though they still have sellouts for trash teams all the time. But what would you think about maybe moving Westbrook to the Knicks for their seventh pick and Julius Randle and the filler pieces, and then maybe trading Harden to Minnesota for the first pick and Jarrett Culver? I understand that's a blow-up, but your pick next year, the first round that you send to OKC, is protected 1-4. So if you do tank bad enough, you may end up with a first pick in the draft 1-4 next year, too. I mean, I understand that you're trading away one of the top five talents in the NBA, but I think over and over again you're starting to see that he's not going to lead to wins in the postseason when it matters, because I don't think he can adjust to playing with another great player and allowing that other great player to be great as well. Because it's always going to take, it's always going to come at a cost to the other superstar he plays with to play with him. So that's just a thought. I mean, just seeing what you guys thought about that.
Well, the question is do you blow it up? The question is, what can you get in return? The question is Russ, I think Russ is contract. We were talking yesterday. I was talking with AJ, and AJ said, well, there's a rumor that the Paul George for Russell Westbrook. I'm like, do it right now. What, Paul George has 1 year left on his deal, and if the Clippers want somebody long-term, good. Let them have him. Go, Russ. Go to the Clippers and play with Pat Beverly. See how that works out for you. How fun that'll be.
Two clutch playoff guys then.
Who cares? I don't care. Get out of this contract. Get out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
If you're stuck with Russ for three more years, are you kidding me? I'll take Paul George for 1 year now
be honest,
over that.
I'm so over having to get out of contracts all the time. That's the one thing.
Well,
that,
guess what? You got no choice now. You're sitting on.
I know. Isn't this brutal to be in contract hell? You know who's not? Is the Astros. I mean,
well,
the Astros are going to be faced with a dilemma that happens to really good teams. Is that your players outplay their contracts and everyone wants your players. We saw Keuchel. We've seen Charlie Morton. There was some Marwin. There have been the little guys, but now the big guys are going to be coming up. But I don't. We'll save that for after, you know, whatever happens so that Chuck doesn't get mad. But that is a real thing. I mean, when you are really – nobody wants what the Rockets have. No thanks. Would you like this Eric Gordon? No, thanks.
Oh, gosh.
Would you like perhaps this Russell Westbrook might interest you? No, thanks. And the Astros are sitting here like, you don't want Correa, right?
Well,
yes, we
they've
do.
Got, they've had Reddick for $13 million a year. He was overpaid. They've got Greinke's deal, which is probably untradeable. You know, Verlander was another
deal,
35.
Yeah.
Now you got 35.
Did Brantley overplay his?
Brantley outplayed his, yes. No. But they, you know, you got some guys. Obviously, Dave, you don't win unless guys outplay their contracts.
But you grew your own, and that's why you're able to sustain this longer. And that's why O'Brien was literally annihilating the team.
But
he refused to grow
his own. You were non-existent for 3 years, basically. Your franchise, your organization was non-existent for
right.
3 years,
and
because
then
so that you could build up the farm system, and then you won a World Series. But is that how Tillman is going to go about it? I don't know. The Rockets have never done that, and that's been
well. You have to pick good.
Daryl Morey, in the time that he's been there, has the second best record in the NBA since Daryl Morey got to Houston. The Rockets have the second best record in the NBA. He's never been able to just do what the Astros did. He's never been able to. They wouldn't allow him to do that. So he's been able to win at a high level, be one of the best teams in the NBA, but it's also now caught up. Now you got to pay the piper now. They're up against the wall with every contract. Now, that some of it's on themselves. Why are you giving Eric Gordon a long-term big deal?
It's all on themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, getting James Harden was awesome, and you signed him to a long-term deal that, you know, a big money contract.
He plays to his contract.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all him. There's nothing that the Astros are doing wrong. They don't really have bad contracts. Zach Greinke, yeah, but remember, Arizona took on some of that money. So you didn't take on all that money. You don't pay all that money. So even if you traded him, you wouldn't have to trade all that. Well, you would have to kick in that money, I guess, because that is his figure. But I just know this. They haven't gotten themselves in trouble with any bad long-term deals. The question is going to be, if you decide, okay, that's it, we'll go 5-30 with Carlos Correa, or 5-30 with George, and let's say they stay there. Now you're a little more, Now you're at a position where, okay, you need those guys to continue to play at a certain level. It doesn't kill you financially if a low-dollar or relatively low-dollar guy, you know, an arbitration player, Carlos Correa, isn't playing. It hurts you on the field, but it's not hurting your roster composition. I mean, you know, he's not costing you an arm and a leg. George and they're going to cost you an arm and a leg now. And you, now you're going to have multiple players who are making that. So that's what happens when a team grows up and does really well. At some point, they get paid. And they get paid a lot of money, and it's hard to do it. And you can't always keep everyone. That's why you got to be bringing up people from a farm system. That's why you got to keep the farm system stocked. So next man up. Kyle Tucker is next man up from a hitting standpoint. And Christian Javier and Fromber and Urquidy appear to be next men up for Justin Verlander and Greinke, and that's great. That's great. But you do need to, you know, you do need to strengthen your farm system at some point. Rockets, there is no farm system for them. They're really up against it. I think Daryl was fantastic as a Rockets owner. I mean, as a Rockets GM. But at some point, once you push in everything in around building around James Harden and making all the pieces fit, at some point there started to be a – I think the one area where he really struggled is chemistry. No, because that's not really – that doesn't show up with the numbers. I mean, it can based on your, you know, your five on the floor plus minus and all that stuff. But getting guys to buy in and become community, they had that back in the day with some of those Rockets team felt like community. I can tell you the one from that won 65 games – I was at Daryl's musical that he wrote, and there was Chris Paul and Ariza and PJ Tucker all hanging out together, laughing, having fun. I mean, I felt like it was, but James, the lead alpha, you know, he and Chris just couldn't get along, which is a shame because he was perfect for that situation. Yep. You know, Chris Paul could play the second fiddle if he needed to because he really wanted to win. Russell doesn't have the game that fits James. Now you're stuck. So.
Well,
and that's
it fit
on
pretty
Daryl.
Well for 65 wins and a 3-2 lead over Golden State, but you know that was the window, and the window closed.
Yeah, and this is to be sure. These are Daryl's move that have him have them there.
Yep.
Now, whether Tillman made him do certain things, I don't know about that. Maybe Tillman said I got to have this or I got to have that. But these are Daryl's moves, and trading away draft picks and all that stuff. You know. They are here in Daryl's gym. It lies at his feet. And this
Not
is
anymore.
Where he led them to. But I think he was a fantastic GM for the Rockets. And I think the Texans should consider him. And I talked about it yesterday on Twitter. I don't think it's stupid if you have the right football people around you. All that is understanding. And people are going to say, he'll just trade away draft picks. That's perfect. No, Daryl and I have talked back in 2013 about a Sloan Sports Conference paper, a study that showed the best teams are the ones who collect draft picks. The best organizations, the ones who do the best in the draft, collect the most picks. So you know what Daryl will do? Collect picks.
Yep.
Like the study's already been done. He understands that. But I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that...
It would be cool.
I do think he could be one of the guys. I know Ballard's told me multiple times, oh, Daryl could 100% do this job, but he'd have to have people around him who know how to evaluate, and he'd have to listen to him.
Yep. Let's get Jeff in here. Let's talk about Paw Dusty. What do you say, Jeff?
I got two questions for you. If Dusty, which I hope he does, and they end up winning the World Series, would he be the most memorable manager the Astros have had? I know it's going to be a short time, but the mess he came in with all the scandal and then the COVID and, you know, and pretty much just getting, you know, just put in the corner by the media by not paying attention for the city of Houston, I mean.
Yeah. Well, this ragtag outfit, staff that he's had without his number one starter and, you know, this bullpen and these young kids that he's been able to manage through all of this, it'd be the best job anyone's done. I don't think there's any question. Now, they were 29-31, so.
Yeah, but it's how you end it. Yep. We all know that. I mean, yeah, and Dream was hurt for much of the second championship or, you know, for a giant stretch, and they were in the six hole. Nobody cared. They beat a bunch of 60-win teams, and they're like a beloved team. This would be a beloved. Dusty would be beloved. You know what sucks is I just realized the other day when Dusty finally had his mask off when they were talking to him in the dugout, I was like, wow, we just haven't even seen Dusty's full face almost the whole time. Almost every time Dusty has a mask on, even when he's in a Zoom press conference and no one's around him, He's got his mask
on. Well, I love that he was talking to the girl on the sideline, female, who was interviewing him during the game, and he's got his toothpick in, and he's doing his interview with his gloves on and his toothpick.
They look like dish gloves.
I know. I'm like,
yeah. Dusty is over 70.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I would consider that's more
he's
high risk.
He's the coolest over 70 dude you'll know.
That's more high risk, but the gloves don't even feel like they're like, it's like he has gloves on that you wash hardcore, like dishwashers in restaurants have those gloves on. Dusty's not for the, and he always is going to have the time for you because he's got a wristwatch over a sweatband. So sweat's not going to get to his hands because of the sweatband, and he's got a watch so he always knows the time, and he's got the gloves in case he has to A, wash dishes, or B, pick up molting hot, something that's molting hot, like molting hot lava. He can stick his hand in it, or if he wants to protect himself against COVID.
Yeah, he's protecting himself.
Because that
you don't mind if Pop protects himself, do you?
Why?
Thanks. Okay.
Yeah.
He's out there, and he really is, at 70-plus years old, being with all these people all the
Dusty
time.
Do you think Dusty could barbecue?
I'm pretty sure he could.
Dusty Dusty
you know
looks
he makes
like
a good pork Papa, chop.
Yeah, Papa has something. He's got a pork butt out there on a Texas Star Grill Shop grill, and I'll bet you $100,000 that Papa Dusty can make a mean brisket or pork butt or something like that. Maybe he's whole hog. Maybe he cooks whole hog. I don't know. I don't want to say he doesn't, but I do know my friends over at Texas Star Grill Shop with their big fall sale can hook you up. Whether you want a great big pit or something smaller, you want something that's mobile that you can take around. Maybe you're looking for a brand new gas grill like John got. There's so much that can be done, and all you have to do is just head on over to Texas Star Grill Shop. There's three locations. There is there's the Katy location, the Spring location, and right here in Houston at Greenbrier and 59. I'm telling you right now, when you have Texas Star Grill Shop, you got a company that can find you the best grill for the best prices. Delivery and assembly are free throughout the rest of the month, and they're going to be cheaper than any other big box store. You're not going to find it cheaper than Texas Star Grill Shop, but these are not cheap products at all. They are unbelievably high-end, built-to-last products, and they've also got all of your amenities as well. TexasStarGrillShop.com. That's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
ESPN 97.5.